Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yes, I know it's an odd time. It's 3 o'clock here on my time in New York City. It's, well, it was sunny. It's kind of like cloudy-ish kind of, and it's a warm day today, warm and windy, and well, I purposely did this show because I'm going to be having jazz singer Patty Austin. She's going to talk about her tour and her latest CD called Avant Gershwin. And not sure, but I might be able to get Sarah Rice, who portrayed Joanna in the original Broadway production of Sweeney Todd, to call in, and she'll talk about her tour and her career. So, in the meantime, I'm going to play one of Patty's songs. Well, it looks like I think I got Patty on the phone now, do I?
You got me on the phone.
Ah, got you there. Okay. I was just about to, they said you'd be calling in like a little bit, a few minutes late. I said, let me throw one of her songs on.
Oh.
So tell me, I mean, wow, you go back, well, you don't go back to, I'm sure you're younger than I am, but
I'll count on it.
Huh?
I'll be 60 next year.
I turned 60 this year.
Ah, you beat me.
I beat you.
Are you having fun? You having any fun yet?
yeah, I do. Why?
Just checking.
No, I gotta tell you. I had this whole thing when I turned 50. I said I'm going to do this entire thing called "If I Could Do It, You Can Do It." I mean, I've gone in race cars. I've been driven
it.
One. I do things really as much as I can.
Right.
Because I figure, again, that if I could do it, anybody could do it. So tell us what you've been doing. Let's go back to when you started with, you know, how people know your name and the connection. I understand it has to do with Quincy Jones.
Well, that's
sort of.
I actually started in the business when I was 4 and started doing TV when I was 5 and making records when I was 5
did we hear them?
The first record that I made did not get heard. It wasn't released because the Children's Aid Society stepped in and said tisk tisk, because they were being very, very strict at that time. We're talking 1955. And they had some very rough stuff happen with people like Judy Garland and Shirley.
Oh,
Temple.
But you said
not
you
so
did a
Shirley
commercial.
Temple.
You said you did a commercial.
No. I made a record, but wouldn't with RCA, but they would not let it be released. And then I recorded again as a teenager and had a couple of what they call local hits, which you used to be able to have back in the day. And when I was about 15, 16 years old, and did TV then and theater. And so I really started in the business a long time ago.
Wow.
And didn't start recording with Quincy until I guess the first project we did together was Stuff Like That, and then The Dude, and then we worked on some.
So what would you say would be your first hit?
The first biggest hit was Baby Come to Me, which was the number one pop record. And then we had How Do You Keep the Music Playing after that. And both those songs with James Ingram. And then Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Heat of
so,
Heat.
I mean, like in the song Baby Come to Me, because it's like now going in my head.
I'm sorry, say that again?
You said the song Baby Come to Me.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, the song is now going, like, in my head.
Right.
And so, were you, wait a minute. I'm not picturing. I'm thinking male, no?
Yeah.
So, where, did you write it, or did you, I mean, what, were you in it? Is that what it was?
No, it was a hit record that I had with James Ingram.
Oh, okay. So I was with him. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it was on my first solo album on Quest.
Uh-huh.
And then we reciprocated, and I did a duet with him on his first solo album, which was How Do You Keep the Music Playing, which was the theme from Best Friends, the movie Best Friends.
Right.
With Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn. And in between all that, I had Smoke It's in Your Eyes was a hit, and The Heat of Heat was a hit. And we kind of went back and forth between pop and R&B. And then as I got older, I started using my jazz chop, which I'd had all the time, but I hadn't really recorded a lot of that stuff because I was doing well in the pop field, and so when you're with record companies, they want you to keep doing whatever you do that is making them money. And at that time, there wasn't jazz was really in bad shape, particularly in the States. Not so much in the rest of the world, but in the States, people were not listening to or buying jazz on any grand scale. And then I just started making the music that I really wanted to make and went into what I call the classical jazz world, which has nothing to do with the smooth jazz world, and started going to Germany and working with a marvelous organization called WDR, Big Band and Symphony, which is the German equivalent of the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And started doing these projects with them every couple of years, and then we began to record the projects and release them as records, and as a result, finally got a Grammy.
That's fabulous.
So
now with the when you say with the smooth jazz, it's like you did stuff on CD 101.9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably where I heard you. Mostly.
Right.
I used to get tuned to that. It was like a constant station for me.
Right.
You know, it was like the one I woke up to and the one I woke up to and the one I drove with.
Right, right.
That's those two times.
Right.
And most of the time I would like, if most of the time people said, who's singing that song? I would go, I don't know. I just keep listening to all these songs.
Well, because
eventually.
They seldom would say who the artists were, which seems to have made a disconnect in the record.
You know,
system.
Now that you say that, it's true, because I used to, that was one of the things. I went, who's that?
Yeah.
And sometimes
especially if you're from our generation, you know, we grew up not only knowing who the artist was, but who the engineer was and what the studio was and where it was recorded. And when they would play records in the past, they would give you all that information. And then they just, the whole mentality of smooth jazz was to create underscoring for people's lives. So you didn't hear a lot of talk. It was mostly back-to-back music, and then you had to play three or four cuts in a row, and if you're in your car, you're kind of screwed. If you get out in the middle of a set, then you'll never know who was, and if it's an instrumental, if they play four instrumentals at the same time, it's like, well, who the heck was any of that? So it really kind of created this disconnect for people. They didn't know who they were listening to. And Hence, there's not a lot of smooth jazz radio left.
Yeah, I know. But I guess they're sort of, if you want to call them, maintaining it with the crews, aren't they?
Well, they're trying to, but the joke about smooth jazz is that there was very little jazz happening on smooth jazz radio. Smooth jazz was really a name to disguise what they used to call oldie goldies, because they used to play Baby Come to Me on smooth jazz radio, which used to crack me up because Baby Come to Me was a number one pop record.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it had absolutely nothing to do with jazz in any way, shape, or form. But it was a format title that they came up with that I'm sure some clever person said, how can I sell a Mercedes to somebody and get them to listen to some music at the same time? Or actually, it's the other way around. Get them to listen to some music so I can get them to buy a Mercedes. And if I use the word jazz, that's going to have a certain connotation, and that demographic that I want to reach with that connotation will then listen to the station. And but essentially they were playing, you know, oldie goldies. Songs that had been recorded in the pop, R&B genre like 10 years before. And we used to call them oldie goldies. And then they said, no, we'll call it smooth jazz. And there you have it.
Yeah, it's like, for instance, like in terms of like recognizable, when Jim Brickman had a song on smooth jazz, I went, oh, that's a Jim Brickman. It's the way he plays that piano.
Yeah, right.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And that's how on certain ones that I would be able to recognize without knowing who the artist was. And it's true.
Yeah.
And I would go, wait a minute, haven't I heard this song like a long time ago?
Right. Yeah, you had.
Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Okay.
Right.
But so let's talk about your new album here, Avant Gershwin.
Well, it's not new anymore. But that's
the latest.
that is the last one that we had out. That is the one that got the Grammy, and we went to Germany and worked with WDR, and marvelous. Arranger Michael Abeni, and had a great time, and apparently people liked it.
Now, of the songs, do you have any on there that are your favorites? I mean, I imagine all of them, but anyone in particular?
No, you said it. You said a mouthful when you said you imagine all of them, because I don't know if you've ever seen the catalog for the Gershwins, but it's pretty big. So we're doing a very tiny percentage of what that is, and that's kind of what we narrowed it down to. So I always get kind of cranky when people say, what's your favorite song on this record? It's like, do you know that we went through 60 songs to come up with those 9 or those 10? So those are my favorite songs coming from the Gershwin catalog. And we tried to, we have a few medleys on this particular project, so we tried to incorporate quite a few things on there from that, from the marvelous Gershwins. They just were so prolific and so timely. It's amazing how lyrically those songs still make all the sense in the world.
Now, when you've made the decision like to go from, I guess, pop to jazz, was it like, I guess, I have to use the word, like the syncopation of the jazz that got you into it?
No, my dad was a jazz musician, and so that was the music that I grew up, I won't say hearing the most, because his musical taste was tremendously eclectic, and I don't really like categorizing music. You know, I have two categories of music, the stuff I like and the stuff I don't, and those decisions are very subjective, and it has little to do with anything specific like a rhythm or a melody, or, you know, it's kind of a combination of things that might draw me to material. But I certainly had a knowledge of the form from, mostly from my father's influence, and then Quincy Jones is my godfather, so he had a very large influence, and Dinah Washington was my godmother, and so she had a large influence on my connection to jazz specifically. But it was a form that I had always performed and was always capable of performing, but the opportunity hadn't really arisen for me to do it the way I wanted to do it until we started getting making that connection with the WDR orchestra.
So now, the just want to get it out there as far as just so people can hear you. So you're doing the cruise. The cruise is on, and I know it's on a day that I'm going to be out of town. That's why I went,
I better
interview her. At least I could go to Sue Dan.
You're no fun. I'm not even going to be there.
Now, what the, it's the, wait a minute, I'll pull it up here. Well, you
I
got to
look myself because I got so much stuff going on. When is it?
October 9th.
The 9th.
There it is. October 9th. I'm going to be in.
I know it's at Pier 61.
Pier 61 at the Chelsea Piers on 23rd Street.
That is
October
it.
9th.
Yep.
Entitled Some Enchanted Evening.
And we will not be doing that song.
No.
Maybe we should, just in honor of the fact that they've named it that.
Well, Ed, I just said they gave it that name. You don't have, is that a Gershwin? That's not a Gershwin, is it? Some Enchanted Evening?
Some Enchanted
That's,
Evening.
South Pacific.
South Pacific.
I don't think that was a Gershwin.
No, Gershwin
no.
did not write South.
They don't have to do it. You
I
can
cannot
even
remember
say,
the composer
yeah,
right
you
now.
You can say they made it up.
Some
you just tell them they made it up. And they well, they say Sam and Janet Evening.
Sam and Janet Evening. Ah, she knows all the jokes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I tell you what I remember, and I'm sure you probably too. Back when we were teenagers, you can go to the store and buy the sheet music. In other words, they had the
absolutely.
Pop hits and the words to the songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, like, so cool. It's like every month, I have to get to the candy store to buy this.
So you could get the sheet music for the song, absolutely.
Yeah,
remember
and
it well.
Yeah, and it was just not even the sheet music, not the music itself, just the words.
Right.
They would put out the things with the words to the songs. And it's like, I don't understand how people even know the words these days unless they look at the CDs, which is thank God they've done that.
With a magnifying glass, yes.
Yes, yes. You know, I have, and I'm sure you'll agree. I mean, first I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm 60, my eyes are going bad. And I'm saying, no, they're writing tinier.
I'm, I have this debate all the time, and I have friends in every age demographic, and my friends in their 20s tell me, no, you're not going blind. It really is getting smaller because they're asking me for my bifocals when we're in a restaurant trying to see a menu. So don't feel bad out there. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I figured they
It's a conspiracy between lens crafters and
and saving.
And magazine and
yes.
print. Printmakers. They figure, we'll make the print smaller, you'll buy the glasses, everybody will be happy.
Right. They say they'll save money if the font goes from 12 to 11.
There you go.
You know? And, yeah, and I keep going, and I keep turning on the light and make it lighter.
Right.
And I go, does that help? Does that help? And I'm going, no, I still can't read what the ingredients are.
But it's brighter.
But, yeah. But anyway, I would imagine, I know that on this, which is typical when you have a CD that's like, let's say, like it's like on this one, let's say that it's Gershwin, you're not going to have all the songs, you're not going to have printed out the words because they're not, you know, they're former songs.
Well, and also the way we did a lot of, not a lot, but a few of the songs, the CD comes from a live performance, and so two, the bookends of the evening's music were both medleys. And so there's the opening medley, and then there's a Porgy and Bess medley. And so it gets a little complicated to put all those lyrics when you've got four or five tunes in a medley.
This
and you're only
true.
Doing portions of the songs. It takes up a lot of space.
Now, of the songs, do you mainly sing and I like other people's songs, meaning like, again, like with Gershwin, do you mainly sing that type, or have there been enough songs, let's say, either written, like written for you? I mean, I know like when, you know, the songs we had talked about, I'm sure, you know, were written and then you and Ingram sang, like, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But were there any songs that were written just for you?
Oh, many songs have been written just for me. Baby Come to Me was written just for me.
Oh, okay.
How Do You Keep the Music Playing was written just for me.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Bet You Wouldn't Hurt Me was written just for me by Stevie Wonder. How Do You Keep the Music Playing was written by Michelle LeGrand and Alan and Marilyn Bergman. Baby Come to Me was written by Rod Temperton. And I've done about 19 albums now, and of those 19 albums, I've written perhaps three of them, the material for three of those albums, three of the 19.
So you've written...
I do my own writing, and other people write for me, and
uh-huh.
I record classic material and new material
and
different genres.
And in the writing, I mean, have you, like, in other words, the lyrics, or have you done both the lyrics and...
The whole Megillah.
A whole Megillah, wow.
The whole Mishpucha.
The whole Mishpucha. That's just the right thing to say on today. Which
I need to say today.
Yeah, and why am I on the radio today then? Why am I working today then?
That's right, young lady. That's a whole other story we'll get into.
Yeah, one of my friends emailed me and said, have a pleasant fast. And I went, oh. Was I supposed to
that's right.
Today?
I blew it.
Oh, wait a minute. I just like...
Oh, no.
I was just about to make some fried chicken.
Oh, my Lord.
I was just about to make grits.
Oh, well. Oh, what are we going to do with
this? Oh, God. But anyway, so, So how long, like, when you do the show on the ship, on the boat?
Right.
Like how long of a, is it one set, two sets, the whole?
I think it's one set.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if they go out twice or, because I have done this before through the years, and at one point they used to do it twice. You'd do the show, you'd come back, and you'd go back out on a second.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right, because it says 6:30
sure.
p.m. and 9 and 9:30
yeah,
p.m.
Yeah, I think they do two sets, so.
Yeah. Okay. So it's yeah. I did one. I went on one of the cruises to see. No, it wasn't the Rippingtons. It was I forgot. But I, that I went on the on that cruise.
Right.
And the 6:30 was pretty cool. But when I left the boat, the line for the 9:30 cruise was like it couldn't stretch far enough.
I know.
But you're probably going to have it packed. I mean, people will really enjoy this.
Well, I was going to say, it's a fun evening. It's a fun way to spend the evening, and we always have a great time when we do it. And, the audience is right there, so it's got a lovely, intimate feel, and it's aesthetically very pleasing. So it's a fun night. We have
yeah.
a good time.
Yeah, there's even a bit of a dance floor, too.
A little bit of a dance floor, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah. There is,
but so now and what do you, like what's going on in your future? What's anything coming up aside from the?
We have we did another project with WDR, which is a tribute to Ellington, which we're in the process of mixing and getting together to release at some point in time. And I'm working on a piano vocal record, which is just me and piano.
Cool.
Getting ready to start doing a radio show for WHUR, which is a great station out of Washington, D.C. that will hopefully ultimately become a TV show, and working on an accessory line for one of the TV shopping networks, and working on a movie, and doing some music for that. And
in other words, you're really bored and have nothing to do, huh?
Nothing to do. Just over here taking up space.
Yeah. Well, that's really great. I hope I can, like, eventually, like, get a hold of all these things. And there's no problem you're coming back on. Anytime you want to, you know, talk about what's happening with you, by all means, you know, I love the music.
Well, I thank you so much for re-inviting me, and I will take you up on that. And we have something interesting to pitch. I will call you back.
Okay. So did I leave anything out? Anything
else? I don't think so. I think we nailed it all.
Okay.
And I'm on a row of calls here, so I got to
okay.
go on to the next, my next victim.
Your next victim, huh? Well, enjoy it. And remember, you're only 60, you're only going to be 60.
That's right.
And it's still a lot more
wait.
To do.
The older I get, the crankier I become, the more I boss people around.
That's true. You can get away with more.
Absolutely.
The answer is, I'm sorry, I'm postmenopausal. You'll have
there
to
you
listen
go.
To me.
There you go. That's it. That's my
okay.
motto.
Okay, Patty, it was great talking with you.
Thank
and as
you.
I said, you know, anytime, just let me know.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes, that was singer Patty Austin. Yes, that now I can play. Now we gotta hear Funny Face.
Hello?
Yeah, is it still on?
This is the broadcast.
Oops. Oh, that's why. Okay.
Should I turn that off?
Yeah, it might. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll close out of it. There we go.
Yeah, because I'm going to hear.
it's weird. It's
talking
like,
and then hear myself talking.
Right. It's like a dual universe.
Yeah. So, okay, Sarah.
Yay.
By the way, you're in my book. I meant to tell you.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I wrote a book about my life, about humor in my life. And, of course, I have a whole thing about being in P-Town.
Ah.
And so you're in there. Just
I'm going to have to read this.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh.
But anyway, so.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Her with Merle, It's a Humorous Life.
Cool.
Yeah, everybody kept on saying, Merle, no one's going to believe you. You need to write a book. And so I went, the hell with it. Let me go write a book. So
good
I did. I wrote a book, and 6 months later, it was all done. I had to remember everything in my life.
So where can I buy this?
Oh, if you go on Amazon. Actually, I think it's probably, you could see that on the description of the show.
Okay.
Because on the description of the show, I have that, and I have an album of yours. What did I put on there on the description of the show?
Sweeney Todd.
Yes. Yes, I put that on there, too.
Oh.
So that people would be able to click on to that and buy your album through Amazon.
Oh, awesome.
Of course.
if only I got a residual from it, but I think we got 39 cents for it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole cast had to split like a quarter of a percent or something, and so I think I once got a check for like 30 cents or something weird.
Wow, I did so much better being in the movie Up the Down Staircase. I had 8 lines, and I keep getting $30 every time it's shown on some TV station.
Hey, that adds up.
That's since 1967.
Good for you.
Had I known, I would have just stuck with the damn movies.
It's much better money than a Broadway show, that's for sure.
So anyway, let's talk about what you're doing now.
At the moment, I have a show that I've put together. It's called Screen Gem Songs of Old Hollywood, and it's music dating from the silent movies, which were not silent. They had songs that were written about the stars and that kind of thing on up through the 60s. And it's got a lot of wonderful music. It's at the Laurie Beachman, and it got extended. So I'm doing 4 more performances in October.
And what are the dates in October that you're doing?
Okay, it's October 10th at 5 p.m. It's a Saturday at 5 p.m. And then the following Saturday on the 17th at 5 p.m. as well. And then a week later after that on October 25th, which is a Sunday, that's at 4 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah.
And then the 26th, which is a Monday, at 7 p.m. And the telephone number to make the reservations at the Laurie Beachman is 212-695-6909.
Okay. But we'll put up your do you have a website? You have a website, too, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's sarahrice.com.
Okay.
And then there's also Broadway Concerts Direct and that kind of thing.
Okay. So let's go back to, I mean, just so people know, like, how the hell I know you. The Pirate of Penzance.
Yeah.
And you were, what's her face?
Mabel.
Mabel, right. And that was a hoot, that show, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun, actually. I thought it was very cleverly directed.
Yeah, very cleverly done to change Pirates of Penzance to make it gay.
Yes.
I thought it was so clever. And the most funny part about it is it wasn't as if you had to change the words to the songs.
Right. Not a word was changed.
It's just a couple of characters.
They had a female police sergeant.
Right.
And she wore jodhpurs and a riding whip.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing. And then Ruth was a man, but he sounded like an English contralto.
Yes.
And what was cool is that all the parts were played, pardon the pun, straight. They, you know, even though they were mixed up like that,
uh-huh.
That they were played for real. It wasn't played for camp.
Yes.
At all. And John O'Hurley was the Pirate King.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had the part that made it obvious that of where it all went. As Kate has turned to the Dyke Kate. Who of course wanted to protect her sisters and to be with the pirates and things like that. And that's the thing that, I mean, I didn't make it, but I'm saying that whole thing, once you got that, you got, you know, the whole thing, because you didn't know until the end that Ruth was a guy in drag.
Right. Right. And I'm trying to think.
And then at the end, at the end, we paired off and danced with male, male, female, female.
Right. I ended up with the police sergeant, and
I ran out into the audience and grabbed some unsuspecting woman and dragged her on the stage. That's what I got to do after dancing with John.
Yes.
And finding
and
it out.
He ended up with the general, the major general.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think who ended up with who. Oh, and Frederick, the young romantic lead, I forget who he ended up with. Ruth.
Oh, did he? Oh,
it was a strange, but it was a lot of fun.
It
the
was.
Crown and Anchor.
It was. It was just so much fun, and I would have loved to have taken it on the road.
Well, maybe they'll revive it. You know,
you know why I didn't go, don't you?
No.
Oh, because what's his name? The guy who had the Crown and Anchor?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of his name. I just remember Kilchester.
Now, the guy who owns the Crown and Anchor had to escape to the Caribbean because...
Oh, oops, because of the mafia or because of the government?
Yeah, money. I think it was tax evasion or something like that.
Oops.
And we went, oh, I guess we're not taking it on the road after all.
Darn.
Yeah. But anyhow, so let's talk about your career, I mean, since. I mean, you know, prior to that is when you did...
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your career like afterwards, after...
Oh, I've been all over the world. I've sung in a lot of different houses. I've sung with Joan Sutherland. I did a Merry Widow with Joan Sutherland at the Dallas Opera. I got to sing in Venice during Carnival, which was great fun. There was a big Bernstein tribute, and Jerome Robbins was part of it, and the New York City Ballet was part of it, and... we sang West Side Story for this tribute, and Leroy Reams sang the Tony, like, incredibly, such a beautiful voice. So, you know, it's been a lot of different things. I've done a lot of operas, music theater. It's like, you know, wherever I'll go.
do you like any, like, some of the things that, some of your favorite things that you did?
I love doing Dotted Third Regiment. I love doing Pirates. You know, that stuff is so much fun to do. I'm trying to think. You know, each thing has its special moments of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a student prince that was very well received, and that was very emotional and wonderful, and you know, it's just stuff like that. It was cool being on stage with Joan Sutherland, who, you know, is major star. So each thing has its amazing time that you're just so glad that you're doing it.
Right.
You know, as Patty Austin said, you know, it's like, how do you pick a favorite?
Yeah.
They're all your children.
Yeah, right. Are you mostly like when you do your tours and stuff in the United States?
No, we've gone to Nova Scotia. I've been all over the world. I love Nova Scotia. No, it's all over the place. I mean, you know, it's like any place they'll have me, I'll go.
But you're not. I seem to see when I get stuff from you that you're with other people.
We had a concert series at Merkin Hall. Yeah, I sang a lot with Chris Gronendahl, who was with me in Sweeney. And then he went on, he's better known now as, he had done Phantom of the Opera on Broadway for a long time. And so he and I kind of paired up, and we did a whole bunch of concert series together, performing with Marnie Nixon, Leona Mitchell, just a lot of people that are all, like, amazing.
That's cool. And,
yeah.
And I'm curious, like, when you've traveled,
mm-hmm.
I don't travel too much out of the States, even though I'm a travel writer.
Uh-huh.
I'm still trying to get to Nova Scotia, dude. Should I?
Yes, go.
Okay.
It's so beautiful, and the people are so nice. And it's just amazing. If you go whale watching, you will see 47 whales.
I just have to look in the mirror.
Pardon?
I just have to look in the mirror.
Don't stop. No. Don't go there.
Yeah,
but it's incredible. The environment up there is so clean, and it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You would love it.
Yeah, I keep I was in touch with the tourism there, and it was like, you know, like, oh yeah, we'll have you. There's press trips, and then I say, okay, you know, let me have one, and then, you know, they're not answering, and I go, okay, I got to go get another press trip. The heck with it. But of the places, because I did a whole thing in, Fredericton. Where is that? The whole province.
In Nova Scotia?
No, not Nova Scotia, but the other.
New Brunswick?
Yes. I did a whole
St. John?
About a week. Yes, I went down to St. John. I went from Fredericton down to St. John and all the way up to the Acadia area.
Wow. Did you get up to Prince Edward Island?
No. That's the only... I just did that area for a week. It was plenty. And it's really funny because I'll go on a press trip. And if I do it, like, by myself,
uh-huh.
and I get in touch with tourism,
mm-hmm.
they they always complain that I don't want to take a break. They can't keep up with me.
You okay?
Which is so. Oh yeah, no, I have a cold. I came back from Montgomery and Birmingham, and most likely
traveling on the plane.
Well, I don't know, a combination of the plane or, and I kind of guess like with the hotels, the air conditioning.
Yeah,
hasn't been cleaned out, and I'm sucking it in, and then I don't notice it at the time, and then as I'm leaving, I'm going,
Plus the stress of traveling, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Can do
and
it.
And now I'm leaving on Wednesday to go to California.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Where in California?
I'm going up to, well, near Sacramento, to this areas of Calaveras County, Amador County, and I think part of Sacramento County at a town called Folsom.
Okay.
I've never been to any of these places, and that's where I go.
That's so great. And they invite you out there, and they take good care of you.
Oh, yeah, thank God. Yeah,
well, you should try Digby in Nova Scotia. They're famous for their scallops.
Uh-huh.
And it's on the water. They've got something like 50-foot tides. The water goes in and out, and you feel amazing there because of all the ions, the negative ions.
Right.
So you feel fabulous there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I do.
Good.
As I said, I do. I'm still after Nova Scotia because I want to hit that area, the eastern part of Canada up there, because, you know, the others always get, you know, more publicity. Although,
sure.
Although next month I'm also going to Winnipeg.
Ah, that's the West Coast, right?
That's kind of the middle, I think.
In the middle?
Winnipeg, yeah. Yeah, so I think I come home from this. I have a few days, then I'm off to the U.S. side of Niagara Falls, then come back, then to Winnipeg in a little brief time. And then I'm off on a cruise.
Cool. Which cruise?
I'm going on this cruise. It's a lesbian cruise into the Western Caribbean.
Mm.
But this cruise, it's not the cruise line itself, but this company, as opposed to the, because they always have one, Olivia Cruises is like the one that people know. But this cruise called Sweet is into volunteerism. So every port that we go to, they have volunteers doing something at each port. So they're starting with, like, New Orleans, where they're going to plant trees for, like, a couple of days.
Oh, wow. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so I thought that would make a great, great piece to,
yeah,
to do. So so I'm gonna go, and I'm also trying to see if I can get I don't know if I told you that I also work with a football team.
I saw that on,
yeah,
the web when I was trying to contact you, and it's like that's the Sharks, right?
Yes.
Tell me about this.
By the way, if you ever want to come out to a game and sing the Star Spangled Banner and get a shitload of publicity, you're absolutely welcome to do so.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know. When it comes to publicity, I could really get it out there, and if you sing the Star Spangled Banner,
uh-huh,
it will mean that I don't have to.
Ah.
What they do is, like, at 11:30 at night, I get the phone call and I go, "Uh oh, Merle, how's your voice?" I go, "Who's not showing up?" And then, you know, okay.
Now, are you still singing?
Not really, just. No, I've been out of show business for a while, but because, I guess, of the radio show,
mm-hmm,
and because, like, and when I go on these press trips, I try to entertain everybody. So I'm always doing a scene from The Wizard of Oz for everybody. But then again, you know, you can't get the show business out of me, you know.
No, why should you?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you just get, and now it's the 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to do it everywhere.
You're a popular girl.
But anyway, let's get back to you. So, all right, so you're doing this. So you're going to be at the show now. At
the Screen Gems, uh-huh. That's
okay.
Through October.
And did we say what you're doing afterwards? Did we get
nope
to that? No. Okay, what are you doing afterwards?
Well, I'm doing a benefit. They're doing, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Fantastics, they're doing a night of 1,000 Louises. And it's Louises from each decade, from Rita Gardner on. And so I'm going to be part of that evening.
And when is this?
This is November 4th at the Snapple, or the Jerry Orbach Theater.
Okay, I'm home at that time.
And it should be very cool. I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to benefit Bite a Wheat.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Which is cool, yeah. That's
yeah.
Okay, I got two cats.
Yeah, me too. Actually, my husband and I, we have 10.
Oh, my God.
4 in the city and 6 upstate. They're all rescues. So it's a cause that's very near and dear to my heart.
So in the city, like, you know, you have your two homes? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we've got the place upstate
mm-hmm.
that actually my husband works out of. And because it's only an hour and a half away, so it's commutable.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of go back and forth. And, you know, when I'm working on stuff and coaching and taking lessons and things, you know, it's just easier to stay in the city.
Uh-huh.
And so that way we figured we could rescue more kitties.
Aw. You know that Sandy Dennis wound up with 42 cats. Did you know that?
It's easy to do. It would be easy to do. I tell you, you know, it's like I see them. If you go to petfinder.com
yeah.
or you read about all the horrible things that people do to these wonderful beings, whether
yeah.
they're cats, dogs, bunnies, children, you know, whatever, you want to take them all in. I could see how that could easily happen. I mean, if we had more space, we probably would take more in, because they all deserve to be loved and have a safe place, you know. And
except when they rip my house apart.
They're ripping your house apart? Do you have scratching posts?
No, I have scratching posts, but I don't mean ripping it. Meaning that it's like, you know, cats. It's their house. I get to live here.
Well, we're dogs have masters, cats have staff. And
yes,
it's true.
Yes, yes, that's the way. That's a good way of putting it too. Yeah, that's true.
So what are your cats like?
Well, actually, I wanted to get, after the last cat died, although I can actually say died. And you know what, no one ever says died.
I know, they say passed.
Passed or, you know, except when you're Jewish. Jewish, they lose people.
Oh,
yeah, Jewish people—they lose them. It's like I lost my father. Like I'm gonna find him in the mall.
Morning, right?
You know, I'm gonna go down.
Well, there's
to
always
the mall.
The hope.
But anyway, so what had happened was that I was, you know, pausing for a while
mm-hmm.
and deciding exactly like what I wanted that really worked well. But the sharks decided for me.
Uh-huh.
And so, like...
How did you end up with them?
Well, they just, like, one of the staff says, I'm coming over your house, I have something for you. And I'm thinking, okay. And it was two kittens. They waited for the kittens to be old enough, bought them from a pet store.
Uh-huh.
Two males. I didn't want... I only had a male once, and it worked well because the last two cats, it was a male and a female from the same litter.
Ah, so they were brother and sister.
And
that's huge.
And it was like the way they got along was amazing. I was amazed
mm-hmm.
on how much love they had for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, oh, that's what I want. And then, like, and I get two males, I'm going, oh, mm-hmm. Kittens. I have scars to prove it.
Oh.
But
how,
you know,
old are they now?
Now they're about like 6 months.
Oh, okay. So
now
they're still in the tumble stage.
Yes, they're still in their tumble stage. Yes, I will eventually. I mean, I adore them. Absolutely. I mean, they had no choice in their upbringing. Then they had to get kissed on the head, on the belly, and, you know, rub the tummy and the whole bit. Well, you're going to learn that you're going to have to tolerate this tummy. Too bad.
And know? Now I'm sure they love it.
Oh, yeah. Now they enjoy it now. So that's
once they get to trust you.
Yeah. Well, they trusted me a long time ago.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they trusted me right a long time ago because they got who's feeding them.
Uh-huh.
That's the key.
That's a good thing.
And one of the things that were pretty good, no matter who came in the house,
uh-huh.
They came up to the person and, you know, yeah, pet me, yeah, hello, who are you, you know.
Because they didn't know any different.
They didn't know any different, right. So
you know,
it's nice because some cats, like, you know, they don't want to socialize, but they did.
Well, I think it depends on what they've been through.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know with an older cat what traumas happen to them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because ours are like party animals. It's like, you know, people come in and it's like, oh, you're here finally.
And yeah. Do you have all indoor cats or they're indoor
yeah.
or outdoor?
Oh, no, we don't dare let them out.
Yeah, I don't want to let mine out. Yeah.
Upstate, they'd just be hors d'oeuvres.
What area upstate?
It's Sullivan County.
Oh, cool. Oh, Sullivan County. Okay. I have a
yeah.
friend that runs a newspaper there.
Which one?
If you named it, I would know it.
The Crier?
Yes.
It's the Crier?
Yes.
Ah.
The
town. Is it the Crier or the Town Crier or something like that?
Something like that. His name is Van Morrow.
Okay.
And Van used to be my drummer.
Oh, cool.
So
there's a lot of musicians up there.
So if you ever want some publicity.
Yeah, that's a full-time thing, too.
What?
So, actually, we have a concert series up in Wurzburg
mm-hmm.
that we do once a month that we've been doing for 7 years now. And it's like the Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, you know, going to their local pub and being able to perform stuff and work things out without having the pressure of it being scrutinized by everybody that can make or break your career. So that's what we do up in Wurzburg, and we do this concert series in this little church. It's usually the first or second Saturday of the month, except our Halloween concert. It's going to be closer to Halloween this year. But it's a great – we've been doing this for 7 years, and it's just a great place to go and try things out.
Right.
You know, because every song has to have its first performance in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And so this way you get to try things in front of an audience for the first time, and they're very intelligent, and we just love them dearly. Mm-hmm. And they come and support us, and we get performers from New York that come up and we perform, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, what I want you to do, by the way, the phone number you called in, I'm going to call you. The show is going to end in about a minute.
Okay.
I want to call you back and talk with you guys. I have something that I wanted to share with you.
Oh, okay.
But in the meantime, and I'll also give you my ad. You can, like, send stuff to me.
Okay.
And I can upload it, and at different times I can play your music.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right, so the MP3 I sent you didn't work?
No, it just wouldn't do whatever.
Oh, okay.
So it's better, like, you know, if you send me the CDs or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's easier.
Yeah, I have to have a little more advance notice for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll talk to you, like, in a little while. And
okay, you got my number?
Yes, it's I'm not going to announce it. but your number that comes up on here.
Okay. Oh,
okay?
Cool. Alrighty. All righty. And
I'll talk to you in a little while then.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yes, so the next show...